Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. How's my sister?
Alhamdulillah. Welcome to the basics of Al Islam with Imam Omar Shakir. Imam Omar?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. As always, we want to go ahead and open up. Give me just 1 second here. We are simulcasting with Facebook. So let me just... make sure that's correct. Okay. Excuse me. Again, thank you, Sister Latifa. Alhamdulillah. As we traditionally do, family, let's go ahead and open up with the first chapter in the Muslim Holy Book, the Quran, entitled Al-Fatiha, and then we will give an English rendering. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. A translation: as I seek refuge with God from Satan, the rejected enemy, and with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the complete and perfect praises for God, the Lord, keeper, sustainer, evolver of all the systems of knowledge, and the Lord, keeper, sustainer, evolver of all the worlds, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, sole owner of the day of judgment. You alone do we worship, and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, not the way of those who have earned your anger, nor the way of those who have gone astray. Amen. Dear family, our greeting is peace. We wish God's peace be on you. We say, Assalamu alaikum. My name is Omar Shakir. I'm Resident Imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas, and we are excited and happy to have another installment of the Basics of Al-Islam. We begin always with God's name. Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa amma ba'd. Excuse me. And that is, we begin with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We give God the complete and perfect praise. He is our Lord, keeper, sustainer, evolver of all the systems of knowledge. We bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah alone. And we witness that Muhammad is his slave, servant, and his messenger. And we always pray the prayers and the peace be on the honorable, noble, generous Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prayer and the peace be on him. So inshallah, I believe today we will complete the five pillars of Al-Islam as far as, I'm going to say, an introduction. You cannot fully exhaust any of these topics. We've gone over the six articles of faith now, and actually we went over the six articles of faith with a lot of detail. And we are giving an overview right now of the five pillars of Al-Islam. And so far we have covered the first three. The Shahadatain, the first pillar. Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry. I apologize for interrupting. I have a caller that has their hand up, and I just wanted to make sure there was no issue. Do you mind if I just take that really fast, Shawa?
Sure.
Sorry. 313-699. This is basically of Al-Islam. May I state your name and where you're calling from, please?
Islam. When you know self, you know others. Iqra, read the written word, the spoken word, and anything that brings a message to your mind is a word. Okay? Islam. Man thinketh and grow. Islam is the key. Islam 101. I am the son of Mary, Ilhaj, Ramza Gate, born right here in the D, 91750. But I grew up in the Show Me State, Missouri. And signs and symbols have.
I'm not sure what that is, Brother Imam. I'm going to just going to let you continue. I'm not sure.
No problem. We welcome our brother that's listening. We thank him for taking the time to listen. And, you know, if there's anything he needs to say as we get into the program, that's fine. But, yes, we appreciate his reminders about Islam being peace and et cetera. So with that, again, like I said, we're well on this journey of the five pillars. The first pillar of Al-Islam is called Shahadatain, where we bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah and that Muhammad is his messenger. Secondly, we offer the prayers, the five daily prayers, five prayers a day. And we went over that in detail, and we talked about the difference between the prayer being understood as a supplication. In Arabic, we say dua, which is a supplication that we can make any time under any circumstances. It's less formal. And then we have the devotional obedience or the formal prayer called salat. And that is the one that we're obligated to do five times a day. And it has various positions in that prayer. But that's, again, formal, and that's devotional obedience. And then thirdly, we talked about the third pillar, zakat, where you pay 2.5% of your accumulated wealth. And we also went to chapter 9, verse 60, which outlines those that zakat is to be given to. And we also distinguished the difference between sadaqah, which is translated charity, and zakat, which is translated charity. We made a difference, a distinction there, that actually the word zakat, which is the obligation, zakat is the 2.5% of the accumulated wealth, and the requirement is annually. Some people pay it monthly, weekly, but the requirement is annually of your accumulated wealth. We talked about that, and we talked about that money can only be spent for those 7 or 8 categories that is in chapter 9, verse 60. That's where zakat is spent. But we also talked about sadaqah, which is the extra, which is the non-obligation, which is what we do and give beyond the requirement of the 2.5% of the accumulated wealth. And we talked about that the sadaqah can be used for various things to assist people. It can be used for the monthly spending and operation of the masjid, et cetera. So, again, those things are archived on AM360 Radio if you want to go ahead and get into the details. And you also can find them on the Masjid Bilal Facebook page, Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah of San Antonio Facebook page, where these talks are archived, and Masjid Bilal's YouTube channel. You can find all of the talks that we have given almost a year and a half now we've been doing this, and we get into some very interesting topics of our faith and belief, etc. So with that being said, I'll just let you know, Sister Latifah, and the audience know of my intention that, inshallah, in about 5 weeks, Ramadan will start. And actually, the pillar that we're going to start with today is the fourth pillar of al-Islam, and it is Sawm in Ramadan, or fasting in the month of Ramadan. And I'm phrasing it that way because you can fast outside of the month of Ramadan. You can fast every month. You can fast every week. And there's Muslims that do that. There are traditions of Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayer and the peace be on him. There are traditions where he would practice fasting on Mondays and Thursdays of every week. There are traditions that he would practice 3 days of fasting in the middle of the month and things like that. You find all of this in the traditions. But these are not obligations. These are extra. And again, they're good practices. They're a benefit. There's blessings, rewards. There's benefit associated with it. But we always want to be clear, what is our obligation versus what is extra? Because everyone doesn't have the desire, the inclination, or the capacity in some cases to do the extra. For some people, just the obligation is difficult. And we also have sayings in the traditions of Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be peace, where there were believers that asked, what can I do to enter paradise? And he basically gave them the obligatory things in our religion, the five pillars. And there's indications, I'm paraphrasing, that doing what you're obligated to do and doing the bare minimum has merit and may be enough for Allah through his grace to allow us to enter paradise. That to me is a mercy from Allah, that he allows us to do the minimum, so to speak, and give us the reward for it. But Allah and Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be peace, also encourages us to do more, to do more. And why does Allah encourage us to do more? Why does the Prophet encourage us to do more? The prayer and the peace be on him is because the more we do, the more we grow, the more we purify ourselves, and the more benefit we get. It's for ourselves. It's not for Allah. It's not for the God. We cannot increase God. We don't decrease God. We don't add to him. We don't do anything. We don't provide. We don't sustain. None of that. That's ridiculous to even think like that. Allah says that he has no needs. Allah says that he does what he wants without people letting him or getting permission to do that. These are statements and sayings in the Quran. So Allah needs nothing, but he is so gracious that when he asks us to give him his due and give him the worship, give him the praise, give him the obedience that he deserves, he rewards us beyond measure. He rewards us beyond the deed. He multiplies over and over again our blessing, particularly in the blessed month of Ramadan. So my point here is simply this. We will talk about our obligation. And I was also talking about why I didn't say that the fourth pillar is fasting. I didn't just leave it like that because it's specifically fasting in the month of Ramadan. That is the command. That is the order. That is the obligation. And we have to be, you know, our imam taught us, radiallahu anhu, he taught us that words are things. He taught us that we have to be very careful how we express ourselves. We are created and we are influenced by words. And we want to be accurate when it comes to this religion. We never want to say something's in the Quran that's not in the Quran. We don't ever want to say Muhammad the Prophet said such and such that he didn't say. We don't want to say that the religion requires this when it doesn't require that. We want to be intentional. We want to be deliberate in what we say. We want to mean what we say and say what we mean. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. With that being said, we will look at the fourth pillar today, and we will look at the fifth pillar today, which is Hajj al-Bayt. See, that's another one of those things. Hajj is a word that is translated pilgrimage, and there are many pilgrimages that people can make and many pilgrimages that people do make. Our Christian brothers, our Jewish brothers, they go to Jerusalem. Not that Muslims don't. We go to Jerusalem also because it has significance and meaning for us. One of the holy sacred masajid are there. Masjid al-Aqsa is there in Jerusalem. So, yes, we have it's sacred for us. But that's not our obligation. And we know that in our history, there was a time when Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be peace, commanded us or orientated us to turn our faces in the direction of Jerusalem for our five daily prayers until the revelation came in the Quran while the Prophet was making Salatul Asr, while the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was making the third prayer of the day, Asr, which takes place halfway between noon and sunset. In the midst of his prayer, the command came down for him to change the direction in which he prayed from Jerusalem to the Kaaba in Mecca, Saudi Arabia. And in the midst of the prayer, he shifted and the followers shifted, and the rest is history, as they say. We've been praying in that direction. So my point is, there's also a verse in the Quran that says pilgrimage to the house in Mecca, Saudi Arabia is a duty that all of us owe. So I'm distinguishing now our obligation and the specificness. I think I just made up a word. I don't want to make up any word. The clear requirement for pilgrimage. where do you go to make the pilgrimage? It doesn't say just Hajj, the fifth pillar, Hajj. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said Psalm in Ramadan, fasting in Ramadan, and he said Hajj al-Bayt, Hajj or pilgrimage to where the house is. Not the pilgrimage to Africa or all the other places, Europe that we like to go, Madrid and Spain, but the pilgrimage to the house. So we will go over these things, and again, we will wrap up that portion of the, I would say, introduction to these pillars, and then we'll start to peel back some of the layers of the very intimate detail of how these pillars are practiced. And because Ramadan, inshallah, will start somewhere around the 10th or 11th of March, on next time when we meet, the first Sunday in March, I will, matter of fact, our whole time together next time will be about the blessed month of Ramadan. Again, I'm going to say some things today, kind of an overview, but on next month, I'm going to get into a little bit more of the wisdom, the purpose, the details, and really what's very beneficial is the insights of our Imam. What did Imam Muhammad radiallahu anhu, may God be pleased with him, grant him the highest station in paradise, what did he teach us about the connections between nature and Ramadan? And so that I'm not leaving you hanging, really, I guess I'll do this again next week, but I've kind of opened this door, so I have kind of go ahead and say these things. Imam Muhammad radiallahu anhu gave us insight into the connections with Ramadan and nature, reminding us that this is the religion of the original pattern. This is the religion of the original nature. In Arabic, it's called fitra, fitra from fatara, which means original pattern, original origin, original constitution, original nature. That's all of that is mean in the meaning in the word fatara, or the root word fatara. We may say fitra. And those of you that are taking notes, if you go to chapter 30, verse 30 in the Quran, Surah Al-Haram, chapter 30, verse 30, it talks about that Islam or Allah has given mankind a religion that is compatible with the fitra. Matter of fact, it's called Deen al-Fitra. Deen al-Fitra. We translate Deen religion. So we'll loosely leave it there. We'll say, so it's the religion of nature. It is the religion of the original pattern. It is the religion of the original constitution. These are the things that we're taught in chapter 30, verse 30. So again, without going into the presentation that I have prepared for you for next month, I don't want to leave it hanging. I want to give you some idea of where I'm going with this. Insights from Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad radiallahu anhu. When you think about this and you make connections with our practices during Ramadan, and I haven't even gotten into it, and I will in just a moment. When we get into our practices during Ramadan, what Ramadan is all about and what do we do and what's connected with it, you'll see a theme. And the theme is Ramadan is an institution, is a practice that helps you and I become reconciled again with the original pattern, with the original nature, with the original constitution. That's what Ramadan is all about. And you think about the things that we do. We're not just fasting, we're praying. Think about how we feel within ourselves and how we feel about our religion throughout the year and how it's different. It's different. We feel different throughout the year than we feel in the month of Ramadan. What am I saying? I'm saying not that we're so raggedy or so bad or so sinful. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that Ramadan, where it's more intensified. Ramadan, it's more focused. Ramadan, it's more, I think focus is a good word. That you're more focused on your Quranic reading. You're more focused on your prayers. You're more focused on your speech. You're more focused on what you're watching and things like that in the month of Ramadan. Well, throughout the year, we drift a little bit. We might get a little lax in reading the Quran. We may miss some prayers, etc. This is the reality of our lives for many of us. So the point that I'm making here is this coming every year gives us an opportunity to reconcile again with the best of ourselves, reconcile again with our obedience, with our taqwa, regardfulness, our God consciousness. All of this happens in the month of Ramadan, and we feel better about our worship. We feel more connected to Allah. We feel better in our soul during this month. And then again, unfortunately, it leaves some of us quicker than others. By the time we get to finish with Shawwal, by the time we get to Dhul Hijjah, the 12th month, all of that practice is gone. All of that feeling and connection is gone. So here's just a couple examples, and then Sister Latifah, we'll go ahead and take our station identification break. I want to make sure that we're all clear of what I'm saying here when I talk about natural connections. And I'll go over this again next week because it'll help me set up what I need to set up. In the month of Ramadan, we have the morning meal that we call suhoor, and we have the evening meal when we break the fast, we call it iftar. Iftar is a word that comes from the same root word. We say iftar, but it's the same root as fitra. The root is fatara, same root word. What did I say fatara is? The original nature, the original pattern, the original constitution. And when we break our fast at iftar, what do we break it with? We break it with something natural. The practice of Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be peace, was water, dates, some other kind of fruit, but mainly dates. We know he was big on dates. My point is water comes from nature. Dates come from nature. Apples, oranges, grapes. People break fast with all of these things. Yes, you can break your fast with Skittles. You can break your fast with a Snickers bar, but that's not what we should be doing. There's something, there's a wisdom, there's a connection. There's a knowledge in the rituals and a knowledge in what we do in the ritual. There's a reason why we practice with the dates and the water, and this is part of the tradition. And then lastly, to make this point, when Ramadan is over, what is our day of celebration called? After the 29 or 30 days, we have an Eid. We have two Eids in our religion. We have the Eid immediately following the month of Ramadan, and we have the Eid on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah in the middle of the Hajj season. Eid is a word that means festival. Eid is a word that means an anticipated reoccurring happiness. But the Eid after Ramadan is called Eid al-Fitr. Eid al-Fitr. You all already know where I'm going. Deen al-Fitra, Iftar, Eid al-Fitr, all from the same word, the same root, Fatara. So it's all about reconciling. That's what Imam taught us. Why are we celebrating? Why are we so happy? because we've just went through 29 or 30 days that has allowed us to reconcile ourselves again with nature. Let's pause right there, my dear sister.
All right, we'll take our station identification break, and we'll be right back, inshallah. Don't touch that dial.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dapreeta Hadi, host of Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you, Tanya.
Right, we are back
on
now.
I have to check something, Sister Latifah. I'm looking on Facebook here, and two of the people here are saying that I don't have any sound. They're saying I can't hear you. So I see Jean Amiss and Amina Gant. First of all, the peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. If you can hear me, please type something in the chat. Please type something in the chat if you can hear me. Because I may have to make some kind of adjustment. I don't know why they're not hearing me. Let me also check something here. Since I have my phone here also, let's see. They're doing a little mic check here. Yeah, let's see. And I apologize to everyone, but we do want to make sure that those that are tuning in can hear us. Jean or Amina, if you could let me know if you're hearing me now, I would appreciate it. And to AM 360, I apologize. Give me just one second. I guess I'm going to have to just keep going here.
I was trying to get on, Ruddy Man, and see if I could see it on my computer.
I'm not even seeing. Okay, there it is. There it is. Let's see. Testing. I see myself live. But I don't hear anything. All right. And,
okay.
Testing. And I don't know if maybe because I'm on the phone at the same time that.
I see you on there. I can see you
right.
On there, but I can't hear you either. I just hear you moving your mouth. See you moving your mouth.
is there, I don't know what would cause that. Is there like a button for you, like a mute button for you?
Let me see if I can
like unmute me. I'm just talking here.
It has a red, it has a line, but it's a red line. And that's all I see is
okay.
A red line.
Okay. No problem. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and end the broadcast and then and go back in and see if that does anything. If not, I won't waste any more of our time because I don't know. I haven't done anything different today than I normally do. And I'm trying to look at settings here and, you know, things like that. So let me just do this right quick, not to waste anyone's time.
All right. He went off of there. I'm going to go to a
place. Right.
Now everywhere else I go, something, man, let me get off of here. Let me get off of here. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't think the problem is with AM 360 radio. I don't believe that. I'm going to try, so I should have did that before I got off, but I'm going to do something else here. All right.
Do you want to continue on here? Do you want me to go to a station identification break?
No,
I have,
I'll go ahead.
I have a caller.
Go ahead.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum, Latif. I mean, Brother Imam, just have them to call in to AM 360 so they can just get the message this time. That would be the simplest thing to do. I mean, I know what you would like to have in terms of the Facebook, but just have Latif to give the number 515-605-9891. 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Therefore, they can get the message. That way you don't lose your audience and they can just listen in for this month, and then next month you can have all the kinks turned out on off the air. You'll lose your audience. I'm just telling you from experience. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. And thank you, my brother. Thank you.
I have another caller, 313-699. I'm late. Come, state your name and where you're calling from.
Islam, and Allah is the key. You said something, brother. You said a lot. But when you know yourself, you know others. This is the Luke mind in Detroit right now. But I grew up in the STL, St. Louis, the Show Me State. And after high 77, the Imam W.D. Muhammad came to the Department of Correction and spoke.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not quoting him, but get that speech. 77 in Missouri, the Show Me State.
Right.
Get that speech. I'm not quoting nothing. Just like the Black Panthers had a book called The Red Book. Quotations of Mao Zedong. You can't get it now. But our history is in our music, okay? A breeze,
yes, sir,
from the east. Just like the sun comes from the east to the west, everything, mathematics, numbers. You can't solve problems using Roman numbers. You can't do no calculations using Roman numbers. You need Arabic numbers. The first, 1 through 10.
Yes, sir.
The first computer. Islam is the key. We plan, but there's a master planner. Just like he put you together when you was in your mama's stomach, And the first teacher, heaven on earth, is at the feet of the mother. Do what your mama said do. Stay alive. And don't sweat small. Take care of these babies because they're going to be your future. You still here when you're gone.
Thank you so much, brother, for sharing. Brother, thank you so much for sharing. We appreciate it.
Assalamu
alaikum.
Ain't no.
All right, brother, ma'am, you want to continue?
Yes, inshallah. So what we were talking of, well, actually we had just finished, and again, sister, I did go ahead and reboot the broadcast on Facebook, so whatever happens just happens there. I'm not going to worry about that because you can always send me the link as you do, and I can post it on my Facebook page. That's no problem. Inshallah. In case there's some kind of sound or technical issue that I'm not aware of. But anyway, we had just kind of set things up. So now let's go ahead and get into the fourth pillar of Al-Islam. Excuse me, which I said is Psalm in Ramadan or fasting in the month of Ramadan. So this is a pillar. So just like the other three, actually all five of these are what we call fard, F-A-R-D, fard, which means they're an obligation on us, and there's a negative consequence when we abandon them and only reward when we do them. So, but again, of course, anything that God obligates us to do, if we disobey or ignore, there's a negative consequence. And we've had this conversation before. Because of how merciful and kind and loving Allah is, the God is, I don't like to use the word punishment. Some people will say, all right, you'll be punished. Well, perhaps if Allah says the same, yes, you will be punished. But I do know for sure there's a negative consequence. Anytime that we disobey Allah, it's a negative consequence. And actually, the going against Allah and the negative consequence that comes from that is a lot of times punishment in itself. But I'll leave that. That's not the conversation today. My point here is just emphasizing that we have an obligation to fast in the month of Ramadan. So Ramadan, and I might as well say this now since I'm thinking about it. We are obligated to fast the month of Ramadan 29 or 30 days if we are able to do so, and that means if health-wise we can do so. Tells us in the Quran, and we'll get more into this next time. God tells us in the Quran, you'll find it in those of you that want to make a note, the verses that deal with Ramadan in the Quran are in chapter 2, which is entitled Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2. And they start with verse 183 and go through verse 187. Chapter 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, verses 183 through 187. And there are two places in the Quran, two verses, pardon me, 184 and 185, that tell us that if you are unable to fast, meaning if you become ill, and there's also exemptions when you're traveling, but let's focus on the illness because there are some people that can't fast at all because of chronic illness. Diabetes, for example, is a disease that we know of that you're not able to fast. Now, some people, depending on your level of diabetics, whether you're on insulin or not on insulin, you know, some people can tolerate the fast. But I encourage you, if you have that condition, to go talk to your doctor, explain the disciplines of the fast and the fact that you're not eating and drinking and all of that because you have to monitor your blood sugar levels. Again, I don't want to make this a clinic on that. But I'm using that as an example. But the point is simply, some people cannot fast for health reasons. If you have legitimate health reasons, you are exempt. And one of the ways that you can compensate for the fact that you can't fast in the month of Ramadan, you can feed someone as a way of compensation. And then that way, you still receive the blessings and the benefits of Ramadan, even though you're not abstaining from food and drink. So that's just a little something for you to note, that there are certain exemptions there. I also mentioned that Ramadan is 29 or 30 days. Why? Why is it 29 or 30 days? Why isn't it just 30 days? Why isn't it just 29 days? Because the fast is regulated by the phases of the moon. And the moon has something called, it has a waxing and a waning cycle that can be completed in as few as 29 days, no fewer than that. The months are not 28 days, they're not 31 days. That cycle of waxing and waning will take place in a 29 or 30 day span, not just for the month of Ramadan, but for all the months. This month we're in now, Rajab, the month that we're in now, Shaban next month. All of these months have 29 or 30 days based on the waxing and waning of the moon. This is the science of that. So that's why I mentioned that. So again, Ramadan. Ramadan is the ninth month of the lunar calendar. You heard me say just a moment ago that Ramadan has to do, the month of Ramadan has to, or our months are regulated by the moon cycle. So yes, Ramadan is a month. Just like currently we are in the month of February in the Gregorian calendar. In the lunar calendar, we have 12 months as well. And one of them is named Ramadan. Ramadan is the ninth month of the lunar calendar. During this month, and I might as well put this out here because people that may be non-Muslims or even newer Muslims to Islam, they may say, it seems like Ramadan changes every year. And that's true. It changes every year when you compare it to the Gregorian calendar, but it doesn't change every year according to the lunar calendar. Well, wait a minute, Shakir, that sounds like double talk. What are you talking about now? Remember that the Gregorian calendar has, February usually has 28 days. This is a leap year, so we have 29 days this year, but usually 28. Some of our months have 30 days, and some of our months have 31 days. And this is how the Gregorian calendar goes from January to December. But the lunar calendar is 29 or 30 days. So when they don't quite line up. In other words, this is the 4th of February, but this is not, let me see if I can, today is the 4th of February, but it is the 24th day of Rajab. So it doesn't line up. So the 1st of Ramadan is not going to line up with the 1st of March. So what happens is because Ramadan, or pardon me, the lunar calendar is always 29 or 30 days, and the Gregorian calendar fluctuates between 28 and 31 days. Ramadan comes about 10, 11 days early each year. Like, for example, this year we're starting Ramadan somewhere around the 11th of March, 10th or 11th of March. And I don't have last year's calendar in front of me, but Ramadan last year was towards the end of March. Let's say it was around the 23rd, okay, or the 22nd or 23rd of March. And next year, 2025, Ramadan will start somewhere around the 1st of March. You see what's happening? And then in 2026, it'll be in February, et cetera. So it comes back. It seems like it comes to meet you. It's 10 to 11 days earlier every year. That is an interesting fact and point about Ramadan. So that's why people think it happens. It's different every year. Yes, when you line up the lunar with the Gregorian, it's different. But with the lunar, Ramadan is always in the month of Ramadan. It follows the month of Shaban, which is the eighth month, and then Ramadan is the ninth month. And that's how it is. Now, here's an interesting fact. And some of you all that have been Muslim for at least 35 years, you're going to find this true, what I'm about to say. And those of you that are new Muslims and are non-Muslim friends, you might find this amazing. Here is a fact. If I was a new Muslim today, and at my first year of fasting is this year, let me just look here because I have it right here. It's estimated that Ramadan is going to start on Monday, the 11th. That's the estimation, all right? Monday, the 11th of March. So this is, I'm a new Muslim. This is my first Ramadan. I will begin fasting my first Ramadan, March 11th, 2024. And Sister Latifah, I hope you're sitting down. It's going to take me 33 years to get back to March 11th. 33 years. So what ends up happening is, yes, I might be fasting in March this year. I've had non-Muslims say, don't you fast in December? Because they remember a time maybe I was fasting in December. Yes, I have fasted in December, but I have fasted in every Gregorian calendar month because I took my Shahada Tain back in 1975. So it's been over 33 years. So I'm on my neck, my second cycle of fasting. Just an interesting trivia point that to explain this idea of the waxing and the waning and the lunar versus the Gregorian. That's all I'm offering here. So it takes 33 years to get back to that first month that you fasted as a Muslim. Or even if you were born and raised in this religion, it's still true because children are not obligated to fast until they reach maturity. So let me go ahead and get away from that. Let me take a quick look here. And the time is getting away from us. Yeah, I'm still getting no audio. I'm looking at comments from, there's nothing I can do about that. Yeah, because I don't know what to do about that. All right. Ramadan, ninth month of the lunar calendar. Ramadan is a word that means intense heat or burning. Usually when we think of Ramadan, we think of heat. We think of a desert. We think of it being hot. So, yes, Ramadan does mean intense heat or burning. But, again, in America, I might fast in January in Chicago, and we know it's not hot there. So there's a metaphor here. There's something metaphoric that we can identify with this idea of intense heat and burning. Metaphorically, when we think of heat, when we think of burning, metaphorically, what we have is a purification process. Heat purifies. When you burn something, you purify. Many of us are old enough to remember that when we got a splinter as a child, I got several splinters growing up, and I would go to my mother or my father to take the splinter out of my hand, and they would use a straight pin. And they would take that straight pin, and they would strike a match or go to the gas stove or something, and they would put that pin in the fire before they start digging in my finger to take the splinter out. And the reason for that was all they were doing was purifying. They were purifying the needle. So again, think about what happens with us. Fasting, though we don't do it for this reason, fasting also purifies our system. There's a purification process that happens in our system. If there are certain points of time when we're fasting that a certain point during the day, especially if you mess around and miss Sahur, you know, you don't get up in time for Sahur, which means you haven't eaten since the night before, that hunger comes in. And sometimes that hunger pain produces a type of burning in your stomach. Well, that burning, though maybe uncomfortable, it's not really hurting you. It is purifying your system. It's giving your system, because fasting gives your system an opportunity to rest, that your stomach is not always digesting and your food is, and your body is not always processing. So there's health benefits in fasting as well. Again, that's not why we do it, but that's a benefit of why we do it. So I'm showing you the connection between Ramadan, meaning intense heat or burning, and the process that happens to the fasting person, and the objective of it all is purification. So how do we do the fast? Again, we fast for 29 or 30 days. During this time, it's not, when we tell our non-Muslim friends that, they think we're not eating for 29 or 30 days. No. Because the discipline of the fast is there's no eating or drinking. Nothing enters the stomach from dawn until sunset. Can you imagine if we didn't eat or drink for 30 days? We would more than likely die. You can do without food, but you can't do without water. So the disciplines of the fast is not, it's a fasting during the daytime. It's fasting from dawn, which is about an hour and 20 minutes before sunrise, until sunset. That's when you break the fast, and you do this for 29 or 30 days. So there's no eating. There's no drinking. There's no intimacy with your spouses from dawn until sunset, basically during the daylight hour. Now, when the evening time comes, sunsets, immediately after sunset, you can resume your eating. You can resume your drinking, your intimacy with your spouses. But again, you should still keep to the spirit of Ramadan. What do I mean, keep to the spirit of Ramadan? Or should I say, keep to the spirit of fasting? Even though you will eat and drink, don't try to make up for the two meals, the one meal that you missed. Because if you got up for Sahur, you're only missing one meal. Now, true enough, in the summer months, your fast could be as many as 14, 16 hours. Sometimes it's that much daylight, depending on where you live in the United States or where you live in the world. It could be 16 hours, 14 hours minimally of daylight. That is a long time to go without eating and drinking, especially those of us that are used to snacks and always, you know, drinking something or whatever. So, again, my point there is it's during the daylight. And at night, don't gorge yourself. Don't overdo it. Don't overeat. Don't overdrink. Moderation, discipline, balance. So, let me pause right there, Sister Latifah, and I'll continue this in a moment, but we'll take a quick station identification break.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. 0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
We're back, Brother Imam. I have a caller. This is Mark.
As-salamu alaykum, Mark. Alaykum as-salam, Latifa Amin, and Brother Imam, Mark Shaheed from the STL, Gateway City of St. Louis in the Shawnee State of Missouri. Alhamdulillah, the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost, always. Wanted to just let you know, Brother Imam, I'm really enjoying your presentation on Ramadan, a lot of great information. I want to just add something that perhaps will help the radio listening audience in terms of how you calculate. I've taught it for over 20-some years here in Al-Mu'minun, especially on later Takata, the Night of Power. The Imam would let me get the whiteboard out and teach the community how you calculate it. It's actually 11 days difference in the Hijra calendar, or as we say, the lunar calendar, based on the moon, as opposed to the Gregorian calendar. As you know, there's 365 days in a normal year in the Gregorian calendar, except every fourth year, which this is, as you said, a leap year. So the additional day is added in the month of February, which makes it 366 days. The lunar calendar is consistent. It's 254 days. It's an average of 29.5 days in the Hijra calendar, the lunar calendar. You have 6 months of the Hijra calendar that will be comprised of 30 days, and you have 6 months that's comprised of 29 days. And as you articulated the waxing and waning of the moon, the one common thread that most people don't understand, even in the Muslim community, is just like in Rajab, it comes in the same way as Shaban comes in, as Ramadan, as Shawwal, Dhul Hijjah, Muharram, the beginning of the year for us. All of those months, they come in the same way upon sighting of the new moon. But you always, in the month of Ramadan, you will have 30 nights, as we should all know that Ramadan begins at night. But then all of your months in the Hijra calendar, they begin at night. Now, last year, our community, the community Imam W.D. Muhammad, the sighting was on March the 22nd. We began fasting on March the 23rd. This is a leap year. So what you do is you subtract, in a normal year, you will subtract 254 days. And how you get 254 days, there's 12 months, even in the Hijra calendar. That's a commonality they have with the Gregorian calendar. If you multiply, and anyone, you got a calculator, you can just see what I'm saying is accurate. If you multiply 29.5 days by 12 months, you will come up with 254 days. Then you subtract 254 days from the Gregorian calendar in a normal year, which is 365 days. It'll be a difference of 11 days, except for a leap year. You add one additional day, like this year. So last year, our community began, the community Imam W.D. Muhammad, began fasting on March the 23rd. If you subtract 12 from 23, it would put you at 11. The pronostication, I said the pronostication because you still have to wait for a sighting here. As Imam Muhammad said, it's an obligation, a responsibility on us as a community not to go with Saudi Arabia, because it is possible, because they're so far ahead of us in time, that there could be a sighting in Saudi Arabia, but not yet here. And it has to be sound. We have the conveners of imams that actually do that, and it has to be a solid sighting, and then that's when the fast begins here in the continental USA. So if you subtract 254 days from 365 days, it leaves a difference of 11 days. You take the 11 from the time that it started last year, and it would give you the approximate time that it would start the next year. And so it's prognosticated that it will start on March the 11th. Now, that's based on this being a leap year because you have one additional day in this month that we're in now, February. So if you do that and you are spot on in terms of it returning back to that time approximately at 33 years. All of this here is math in terms of the calculation, but I'm hoping that what I'm saying would be very, very helpful. And then if you're looking at 2025, then we'll be looking at 11 days. So you'll be looking at Ramadan approximately, if it's not March the 1st, it will be February the 28th, because next year would not be a leap year. So you're looking at approximately February the 28th, and you know, in that regard. So you can see it moving as a few years before, it was in the summertime, and then gradually it's coming through the springtime. Next year you're looking at around about February the 28th, if not March the 1st, February the 28th is moving toward in the wintertime, so that, of course, the days will be shorter. Then you take another 11 days, let's say from the 28th, then you're looking at the 17th of February. Another 11 days from February the 17th, then you're looking at February the 6th. And then the year after that, on and on. So then you'll be in the month of January. So we're gradually moving, like you say, through all the months, but we're moving through all the seasons, which is very important too, through all the seasons. We get a chance to experience Ramadan through all the seasons, spring, summer, fall, and wintertime. And some, you know, some Muslim, I'm a seasoned Muslim, going on 57 years in this community. So I've, you know, experienced when Imam Muhammad got us started, we was like in the heat of the summer, somewhere like July or so, when it was very, very, very hot, when you had to endure 16, 17 hours of fasting. I can say more, but I think I said enough. If we use that formula, you'll find that you'll be pretty much accurate, but you still have to wait. And then the other thing is that we don't know until the 30th night. The 30th night will say whether or not the next month, which will be Shawwal, if the moon is sighted on the 30th night, then that means that we only will have fasted 29 days. But if the moon is not sighted on the 30th night, that means that we have to go ahead and fast that particular day. And then the next day, it would be the Eid day, Shawwal would be in. That's the easiest way I can give it. So hopefully everybody understand that. Thank you so much, Brother Imam, and the work that you're doing for the community. May God's peace be with you and us. As-salamu alaykum.
Ameen wa iyakum. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you, Brother Mark. I am so, how can I say it? Topic that you're approaching here, the explanation that you gave is very interesting to me, and I've been studying this for a while. A matter of fact, you mentioned the conveners of imams, but I've also worked with Imam Ezekiel Pacha out of New York, and we've been doing these sightings for many, many years. The point is that it's very fascinating and interesting, and it's a science. And we have to couple that science with the life example of Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be peace, and of course the teachings of our Imam. May God be pleased with him. So I thank you for your comments, brother. I think you said 254 years for the...
Not 254 years. 254 days in the Hijra calendar, in the lunar year calendar. That's consistent. 200, see, the, you know, Allah tells us in the Quran, in those signs, they are accurate. 254 days.
Brother Mark, it's no, that was, I misspoke. You did say.
Okay, yeah, I didn't want to think I'm talking about 250, not 250, yeah, 54 days.
No, all right, okay, did you say 200 or 300?
No, I said it's 254 days in the lunar calendar. That is the Hijra calendar for us. That's standard.
Okay.
365 days in the Gregorian calendar, which we talk about January, February, March, April, on. Okay. And
I got you.
Yeah, like that. And so all you have to do, if you multiply 12 times 29.5, that's on the average. If everybody would study, I know everybody's not going to study that, but if you would do a study on the months in the Hijra calendar, you'll find that there's going to be 6 months that's going to have 30 days. And you'll find that there's going to be 6 months in the Hijra calendar, the lunar calendar, that's going to be 29 days, okay? And so it comes to an average of 29.5 days. And you have 12 months from Muharram, which is the first month, which is the new year in the Hijra calendar, and Dhu Hijjah, which is the 12th month in the Hijra calendar. So 12
Brother Mark, we got to keep moving, brother.
Okay. I was just explaining that, so because I thought that you might not have understood me.
No, because actually, brother, you meant to say 354 days, but that's okay. We're good.
Oh, 354 days.
Yes, we're good.
354. That's right.
And again,
that's right. The difference, 350, I'm sorry, 354 days. The 11 days. The 11 days difference. Yes,
we
sir.
We good. And everybody might not want to study as much as you've given us, but it's good information. So, again,
yes,
Brother Mark, I want to thank you, and I want to say to the audience, in case they don't know, Brother Mark is one of the main people that is working for the Muslim Journal newspaper.
Yes.
He's working hard in the Chicago area and to preserve and maintain and grow that paper. Recently, he's been appointed by the Muslim Journal Board as, in addition to his, he takes care of the subscribers, but he also has a new title that he's going around the nation getting lifetime subscribers. So, Brother
yes.
Mark, we appreciate you very much. Your dedication.
Thank you, Brother Imam, and thank you for that correction, too. Yes, thank you for that correction. Yeah. Alhamdulillah, thank you so much, and I appreciate this broadcast. I hadn't got a chance to hear. I didn't know you come on just once a month, but I was able to get in the day. Praise be to Allah. You're doing an excellent job yourself, my brother. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. And we'll talk soon because we normally talk every week anyway.
You got my number. Give me a call because I need to talk to you about something anyway, Brother Imam.
Inshallah. Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. And AM360 and Facebook audience for indulging us during that. I kind of, me and our brother got into a kind of a one-on-one, and we appreciate you witnessing that and being patient with us. So, Sister Latifah, let's just go ahead and take the last station identification break, and then we'll go ahead and wrap up for today. Thank you.
Brother Imam, you can go on and finish up. You only have about 15 minutes, so just continue on. Thank you.
All right. The sister said we only have about 15 minutes, so we won't go ahead and take that break. So, again, Ramadan, let's get back. I already mentioned the fact that we deny ourselves food, drink, and water. Food, drink, and intimacy with our spouses during the daylight hours from dawn until sunset. And the discipline of the fast says that you delay starting the fast as long as you can, which really means dawn, You know, you only can delay it till dawn. But when it comes time to break the fast, you break it immediately. Now, what is some of the wisdom here when we look at this? When we look at food, when we look at drink, when we look at intimacy with our spouses, these are not illegal things in Ellis law. Good food is permissible. Good drink is permissible. Intimacy with your spouse in Ellis law is permissible. So what is this saying to us? What it is saying to us is when you think about food, drink, intimacy, you could also use the word urges. These are urges. If you have a urge for sex or you have an urge for food or drink, when that comes down on you, there is a strong inclination to satisfy that. Yes. And for some people, and I mean no disrespect by saying this, but for some people, the urge of eating or the urge of sex takes over them and takes control of them. And they're no longer in charge, no longer in control. And this is where you have the different eating disorders and overweight, and you have sexual promiscuity and all of that. So these urges, though they're natural, they're still meant to be disciplined. They're still meant to be managed. Yes. So if we deny ourselves these legal things, again, good food, good drink, intimacy with your spouse, legal thing. If you deny yourself these legal things, then you should certainly be able to stay away from the, we call it haram, or the unlawful, or those things that are not permissible. So it becomes a discipline and an exercise in those things that we normally do, that we're normally allowed to do. And when we can master that and manage that and we keep control of that, that should give us the resistance. That should give us the discipline to stay away from those things that are not permissible and harmful to us as a human family and offensive to Almighty God. Again, there's so much more to be said, and I guess I really am not going to get to the Hajj today. That's okay. We'll pick up the Hajj in the month of Ramadan, the latter part of Ramadan when we come back in April. But let me finish out Ramadan. What else do I want to say about Ramadan? Ramadan is, again, a month of focus. It's a month of concentration. It's a month of remembrance. It's a month of forgiveness. It's a month of sacrifice. All of those things are true at the same time. So my point here is, what are some of the things that we increase or some of the things that we do during the month of Ramadan that we may not do outside of the month of Ramadan? Well, one of the things that the month of Ramadan is all about, it's about the Quran. One of the things that we're doing is we're celebrating the month of Quran. We're celebrating the revelation, pardon me, of the Quran. And I'm going to get into this a little bit more on next month when we meet just before or prior to the month of Ramadan. So again, Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed. That's why we're celebrating that. And why is that significant? Because the Quran is a guidance for all mankind, and the Quran is the distinguisher. It is the criterion. It is the determiner of what is guidance from what is not guidance. And that's what the human being cries out for. That's what the human being is always looking for. They want to be on sure footing. They want to be guided. So Allah, the God, sends the final revelation to the human family, not just to the Muslims, to the entire human family, to guide them and make clear and distinguish from them, distinguish for them what is guidance from what is not guidance. So Allah tells us, for those of you that are home and you have good health, spend that month in fasting. So we're celebrating that. Part of the celebration is what? Muslims strive to read the entire Quran during the month of Ramadan. This is not a fard. It's not an obligation. You're not sinning if you don't read the whole Quran in the month of Ramadan, but you're strongly because Ramadan is the month of the Quran. Ramadan is the month that the Quran was revealed. So it stands to reason that if we're spending time of reading, studying the Quran, we're going to get more out of it during that blessed month than we would get during throughout any other time of the year. And I remember Imam Muhammad radiallahu anhu, he used to tell us at our Ramadan sessions that Allah blesses him with something every Ramadan, something substantial, something significant. It's a special blessing that he gets. Allah blessed him with insight, but during Ramadan he gets he got a different type of insight. So we are encouraged. Even if you don't read the entire Quran in the month of Ramadan, that's okay. But read a portion, read a little bit of the Quran every day. We have it broken up into 30 parts and all. Now, I'm not going to get into all of that because again, my time is fleeting. But my point is, give time, give contemplation, reflection, give study to the Quran. Whether you read all 114 surahs or not, read something of the Quran every day in the month of Ramadan. And what I do, dear family, for me, is if I don't complete the entire Quran in the month of Ramadan, I will continue after the month of Ramadan until I complete it. So Allah blesses me to read the Quran 2-3 times every year because I just keep starting over and over again. It's something, it's a practice that you and I should have in our life. Anyway, we should just be reading the Quran daily, portions of the Quran. As Allah says himself, read as much as easy for you. You know, maybe I could sit down and read a whole 30th. And somebody else can only read 3 pages. That's okay. The blessing is there. Read as much as easy for you. What else do we have in the month of Ramadan? Ramadan has some special prayers that we call Tarawih prayers. These are prayers that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he increased his prayers and he did roughly 8 units of prayer with that intention, with that special intention of Tarawih during the blessed month of Ramadan. Yeah, we have other practices. Again, some people might do 16, some might do 20, 22. But when we look at the authentic sources of the Honorable Lady Aisha in the Hadith, radiallahu anha, the Honorable Lady Aisha, the wife of the Prophet, may Allah be pleased with her, said that he never did more than 8 rak'ahs of Tarawih. And it has become a practice, and I'm not saying this is a bad practice, but it has become a practice that the imam will recite the entire Quran in the Tarawih prayers over the 30 nights or the 30 nights of Ramadan. This is what the imam will do. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So it's great, but again, everyone doesn't have the threshold for that. That means you're going to be standing in prayer at least an hour. It could be more depending on the style of recitation. That's not a bad thing necessarily. That's up to you as an individual. If you have the stamina, you have the ability to do that. But don't feel guilty if you're not standing up for an hour and a half in Tarawih prayer. Yes, many times we go to the masjid, but the tradition is the Tarawih prayers were done at home. Yes, Umar radiallahu anhu, the third caliph, or the second caliph, pardon me, established Tarawih in Jama'ah or in congregate. There's so much to be said, but I'm running out of time. So these are part of the significances, but one of the main points, one of the most powerful things that happen in the month of Ramadan is called Laylatul Qadr, or the Night of Power. And Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be peace, taught us that the Quran was revealed in the month of Ramadan in the Night of Power, the Night of Honor, the Night of Destiny. It has many names, Laylatul Qadr. And the 97th surah in the Quran, Chapter 97, is entitled Suratul Qadr. So it deals with the night of power. It deals with that 97 in the Quran. So those are things that we focus on. This one blessed night, the night, the 27th night, we believe was the original. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, seek the night of power in the latter half of Ramadan during the last 10 nights, the odd numbered nights. Again, we'll get back into this next month because I'm rushing now. But the idea is, if you will do that, there's blessings in that. As the surah says, 97, the angels descend, and they're listening to us make dua. They're listening to us make the prayer. They're listening to us reciting the Quran in the night of power. And they take that information back to Allah. Not that he doesn't know, but that's their role. That's their duty. That's the assignment that the angels have. That's how they work for Allah. The point is, there's forgiveness in the night of power. Destinies are changed in the night of power. So again, we'll spend a little bit more time on this, and we'll talk a little bit more about this in the months to come. So I apologize, dear family, on Facebook for any issues we had. Thank you, Sister Latifah, for typing in the chat that they could listen on AM 360 radio. And I'm hopeful that the playback will have audio. But again, Allah is the best knower. So, Sister Latifah, we thank you. We look forward to being with you on next month. And we'll go ahead and close out. Is there anything that you wanted to say to our audience?
No, just alhamdulillah. Thank you for this consistency. We have been on for about a year and a half now, so I'm thankful for that. And looking forward to more about Ramadan next month. Of course, you know, we start Ramadan next month, so I'm excited about that and looking forward to you giving us some more information on Ramadan. Thank you so much for taking your time to bless us with your presence here on AM 360. Thank you.
Thank you, my sister. I'll close out with dua. And again, I just want to remind everyone that's listening, she said about a year and a half, so you've missed quite a few programs. If this is your first or you haven't been with us from the beginning, and I invite you to go back to AM360's archives, go back to Masjid Bilal's Facebook and YouTube channel, and hopefully get the benefit of those classes or lessons, or I'll say classes. And sometimes you can share these things with other people. Maybe you're shy. Maybe you don't feel comfortable explaining certain things to non-Muslims or family members. Well, utilize this platform. Utilize this program. Invite them to this platform. Invite them to this program and share the links. Share the information with your family and friends. With that, Bismillahi Rahmani Rahim, Rabbana Atina Fi Dunya Hasanat Wa Fi Akhirati Hasanat Wa Qina Adhabannar, Rabbana La Tuzigh Qulubana Ba'da Idh Hadaytana Wa Hab Lana Min Ladunka Rahmatan Innaka Antal Wahhab. That is, O Allah, or our Lord, we pray for the excellence of this life. We pray for the excellence of the next, and please save us from the torment of the fires of sin. And oh, our Lord, don't allow our hearts to deviate now that you've guided them aright, but bless us with that special mercy from thine own presence, for you are the granters of mercies and bounties without measure. Ameen. Thank you, family. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. And don't forget to tune in, our listening audience. We have Princess Abdulaziz, which will be on for Keeping It Real at 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And then at 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, we have Imam Kareem Hamid and Michael Hameen Beyond with Contemplations of Imam Warf D. Muhammad from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time. Thank you so, so much for joining us. Inshallah, we look forward to you coming back this afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, inshallah. Have a great rest of your day. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.